Hello.
Good evening.
Oh, good evening.
Were you on before?
Hold on just a minute. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't have it loud enough. Are you there?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I'm here.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and mute now.
Okay. And we'll start the on about other people in your life. Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoach. Anna Bekoach, Gedilat Shemincha, Tatir, Serira, Aleph Bekimo Yutat Sadi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagbenu, Tacharenu, Nora, Kufre Shayan, Sintet Nun, Nagibor, Dorshe Yehudcha, Kevavat, Shamren, Nun Yimogalad, Yitkashim, Barhen Tacharen, Rachame Sitkata Tamid Gamlein Betet Resh Zaditav Gimel Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adatach Het Kufbet Tet Nunayim Yachid Geyeh Ramcha Penei Zofre Kiddushata Yud Gimelamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shabbatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talimot Shin Kufav Tzadi Yud Taf. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column and left column energies of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum Vechanun, Erech Apayim V'Rav Chesed V'Emet Notzer Chesed La'alafim Noseawon Wafesha V'Chata'av V'Nakei. We will now connect to the energy of certainty. But first, let us say that we'll do a L'Shem Yichud. But even before that, let's just say the Shema Yisrael for those who may not have said it yet tonight. Please close your eyes. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Echad. L'shem Yichud Kutshabari Kurishkin Te Bidkilu Urkimu 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 Le'abda L'shem Yudhei Bavadhei V'yichuda Shemim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Vasok Torah Mitzvah. Vayehino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei adeinu kerenei aleinu maasei adeinu kerenehu. Rabia Bamar Bika Matar Tane Nandakucha Purihu Koma Diaved Leela Witaba Kolaihu Kishot Biovada Ikshot Leela Mila Bialma Divae Barnash Padahya Leya Mineyalan Haga Peyakalana Dehakulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Wikolait Sturis Bialma. We will now connect to the energy of this current year, 5779, which is a period of time to become wise. There are three verses that connect to this energy, not through their gematria, but through the name of the year being concealed within the verses. The name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Tet. The first of the three verses we study is Leviticus chapter 26, verse 18. Ve'imadele lo tishme'u li yasafti liyasra etchem sheva al hatotechem. Concealed in this verse, separated by two letters each, is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Tet. The second verse that we studied that has the same situation with one difference, and that is from Isaiah. It is chapter 36, verse 6, and the one difference is the letters of the name are in reverse order. Instead of being Tafshin Ayin Tet, it's Tet Ayin Shin Tet, Shin Tav. Hine batachta al mishenet hakane haratzutz haze al mitraim masher yusamech ishalavu vadakapo nun kava kein paro Melech Mitzrayim lekol habochim alav. And the third verse, which has the spelling of the letters in the correct order, but again separated by two letters each, is from the prophet Micah. It's chapter 6, verse 13. V'gamani hecheleti Hakotecha, Hashmeim al Hatotecha. Next, we'll connect to the energy of the year 5778. But first, we're going to connect to a verse that has the same energy as 5779 because it starts with a hey and ends with a tet. This is from 2 Samuel chapter 23 verse 10, and that is connecting to the month of Tishrei. Hu kam vayach bap lishtim ad ki yaga Yado v'ti bach yado el hacherev v'yas Adonai yohe wahe teshua gedola bayom ha'u v'ha'am yeshuvu acharav ach lepashet. The year 5778 has the energy of bowing to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses that connect to this energy in the Tanakh. The first we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vaishka vamnon vaikhal vayavo hamelech liroto vayomer amnon el hamelech gavo natamar achoti udlabev le'enei shete levivot v'evre miyada. The second verse is from Psalms chapter 32, verse 5. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion. Excuse me. Tafshin Ayin Ches. The letters of this word are separated by three letters each. Chatati Odiacha. Wawoni Loki CP Amarti Ode Ale Peshai Ladonayo He Wahe Weata Nasata Awon Khatati Sela. The year 5777. As the energy of the pause. My mistake. It has the energy of the goat, but also the wake up. There are two verses in this, connects to this energy as well in the Tanakh. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52 is the first that we will study. Tzod saduni katsipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we can create satsuki a, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters, we have dir yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse is from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Chet. And these letters are separated by seven letters each. Kim Vadonai. Yo he wahe Elohechem tadevaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776, known as the year of the pause, has two verses also. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayu limat velo yachlu lahavshi et kol ha'olot vayachaskum achechem ha'levim ad kelo tam lacha. Ad yitkachu hakohanim ki halevim yishrei levav lehitkadesh me hakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Here are those names. Adonai Yohewahe Lala he, wa wa wa, yo la yo, ala me, hey hey hey, aka a, re ka ha. The second verse we study, connecting to the pause, is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidhu Adonai Yohewahe Adead Ki Bia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Sur Olami. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses in the Tanakh that connect to this energy. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni lo tarpeni at biliruki. Next, we'll study 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavoya asher yitzabe sham wishatem elai el nabom v'halakti item v'chayayim yashno v'aretz v'hipasti O Tov B'kol Alfei Yehuda. And the third is also from Job. It is chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetza yoved ro'av yomru ayo. The year 5774 is the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse that connects to this energy in the Tanakh. It's 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shakan ta'ata b'lo yirgaz od b'lo yosifu b'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher b'rishona. We'll now connect to the energy of the 72 names of God. Wahe wa yo la yo sayote ala me he shi la la he aka aka he ta. Hezayo ala da la awa he he a Yozala me be he e re he se se wa Nuta he he a a yo re ta shi a he Re yo yo awa me la ka be wa shi re Yo he wa la he he ka a ka wa to Menuda Anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he sa a la a re yo a shi la me yo he wa he wa da nu yo he he shi a me me Nu nu wa nu yo ta me be he pe wa yo me nu me me yo yo la he re he me tsa re wa me be yo he he a nu wa pe me he yo ta me be me nu ko a yo a he be wa re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. Now we will connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a me me be shi la yo he anu a ka me ta. He he yo aduda la he wa he me ya. Yo tsa la me re he, he yo yo, he me me. La wa wa ka be yo, la yo wa pe nu la. Nu me ha yo he yo, me nu he 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 wa. Nuyo hey, hey, shia, yo, re, ta, shia, hey. Re, la, yo, wa, wa, me, la, yo, be, wa, hey, re. Yo, yo, wa, la, hey, hey, ka, a, ko, me, mi, da. Anu, yo, hey, wa, me, re, hey, a, yo, hey, za. Hey, she, hey, me, ka, ha, wa, wa, la, yo, yo, hey. Sa ala are yo, a ala meta he. Wa he wa da la yo, he yo shi ala me. Nu he a nu wata, me la he pe a yo. Nu ko me yo re la, he be he me za yue. A he be yo a he, ala wa me za yo. Da he be me kako a la a he he wa. Re la he yo yo me, he la yo me he me. The Sadikim who left this day, the ninth day of Tishrei, Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He is very prominently discussed, described, and quoted in the Zohar, as well as in the Talmud. To my knowledge, he is the first person who ever had a tummy tuck. There's a story of that in the Talmud about him. He did it in a bathhouse that is made with ceramic walls, and they literally cleaned it using techniques that were later used in hospitals. Rabbi Yitzhak Shmelkis, Rabbi Abraham Saba, Rabbi Abraham Abali ben Rabbi Chaim Levi Gumbiner of Kalish, Rabbi Elazar Nisan ben Rabbi Moshe of Drobich, Rabbi Yitzhak Yehuda Shmeliks, known as the Beit Yitzhak, Rabbi Yitzhak Zev Soloveitchik, Rabbi Elazar Zussman Sofar, the scribe, Rabbi Abraham Yehoshua Heschel Twersky, and Rabbi David Halevi Magid of Shtippin. And the eighth verse of the Anna B'Koach we say in a whisper. Our class tonight is the writings of the Ari for the Parsha of Chazinu. You will find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, going to row 14, the second column from the left. That will open up to the landing page with all of the writings of the Ari. If you scroll down to the Parasha Chazinu, I believe there is only one item so far. There are other items coming. And that is our class tonight, which is titled In and Out of the Torah. This is part one. In later years, we will do parts two and three. We must love God with both our inclinations. The Song of Moses, which is mostly the Parasha of Chazinu, with the lead-in from last week's Parasha Vayelech. The Song of Moses constitutes the greater part of the portion of the Torah read this week of Chazinu. It begins, and now we're going to have a series of questions based on the language that is used in this poetical song. Give ear, O heavens, and I shall speak. Let the earth hear the talk of my mouth. Let my teaching drip like rain. Let my talk flow like dew, like droplets on new growth, like showers on grass. When I proclaim the name of God, give greatness to our God. The rock, perfect are his deeds, for all his ways are just. He is a steadfast God, with no corruption. Equitable and upright is he. Let us understand the following differences in expression in this passage. What is the difference between to hear and to give ear? Why in the first clause does Moses use the imperative, give ear, while in the second he uses the future, let the earth hear? We would have expected the imperative in the second clause as well. Hear, earth. Why is the first clause, does he say, I shall speak, while in the second he does not say, I shall talk? Excuse me. We would have expected the second clause to read, Hear, O earth, and I shall talk. In the past, the esoteric meaning of the Torah was reserved for the select elite. Why in the second clause does he say, the talk of my mouth, rather than my talk? Why, when referring to the dew, does he use the verb to flow? And when referring to the rain, the expression to drip? When we would have expected the other way around. What is the difference between my teaching and my talk, especially since both refer to the Torah? Why did he say give greatness to God rather than utter the greatness of God? How does giving apply here? Why did he say the rock, his action is perfect, instead of God's way is perfect, as David did in his Psalms? Why is God's quality of being steadfast mentioned before his quality of having no corruption? It would seem more appropriate to mention the fact that there is no corruption in God's way before saying that he is a steadfast God, since the former is the negation of evil, while the latter is the affirmation of perfection. Why then are these ideas mentioned in the opposite order? These are all good questions, all based on the study of the Hebrew, which most of my students, including myself, do not speak fluently. But the questions, as they're translated, can be understood, and now we will start to hear the answers. The answer to all of these questions is as follows. The Torah possesses both an exoteric and an esoteric dimension. These are called Peshat, the simple meaning, and Sod, the secrets, respectively. The esoteric dimension is not appropriate for all people, but only for those who are like angels. The exoteric dimension, in contrast, is appropriate for all people. In the past, the esoteric meaning of the Torah was reserved for the select elite that were spiritually refined sufficiently to appreciate it and interpret it correctly. It is only in recent history that its teachings have become increasingly available to the general public. The angels did not know that, since the exoteric dimension of the Torah is not relevant to them. Referring to this esoteric dimension of the Torah, the angel said, when the Holy One, blessed be He, wanted to give the Torah to Israel, how much might there is in your name? Your name is the Torah, which is all made up of names of the Holy One. The angels felt that the Torah, which they perceived as being only the esoteric dimension, should not be given on earth to mankind. This is the meaning of the verse, God our Lord, how mighty is your name in all the earth, for you have given your glory over the heavens. They did not know that, since the exoteric dimension of the Torah is not relative to them, since they are immortal, but it was given to mankind, because God forbid he would bring death into the world, or death had already been brought into the world, and now we needed a way around death, to stop death. The phrase, for you have given your glory over the heavens, may be read, give your glory over the heavens. The angels were thus saying to God, since your name, the Torah, is so mighty, so sublime and unfit for mortal man, don't give it to them. Rather, give your glory, the Torah, to us in heaven. God told Moses to respond to this argument, which he did by pointing out how the simple exoteric meaning of the Torah refers to all sorts of situations that are irrelevant to angels. This, then, is the mystical meaning of give ear, O heavens. The heavens are the holy and the righteous people, who, although they live on earth, are similar to the angels who dwell in heaven. To them it is said, give ear to the esoteric dimension of the Torah, since this aspect of the Torah, as it were, is not said out loud, so that all may hear, but rather whispered into the hearer's ear. This is why the expression give ear is used. The esoteric dimension of the Torah was communicated only to the righteous, since it is difficult to grasp. And as an unwritten commentary, tomorrow night after the Ne'ilah prayer, the fifth prayer, all of the children of Israel are angels. They are at the level of the angels. And if they do not sin, if they eliminate their consciousness of the desire to receive for oneself alone, they do not let it back into their thoughts, there will be no need to die. There will be no need for the exoteric level. Everybody will be able to understand the esoteric levels. Unfortunately, we continue year after year in bringing and allowing that to flow into us. Continuing to read. This is also why the verb to speak is used in reference to the esoteric dimension of the Torah. The verb to speak in Hebrew, ledaber, refers to difficult language, as in the verse, the man spoke to us harshly. In contrast, the verb to talk or to say in Hebrew, lemor, refers to softer speech used, for example, when one speaks to women. In our case, it is used even for the common men, who are the women, who are like women, in that they do not learn the esoteric aspect of the Torah. Israel is associated with the Jewish people as the bearer of the divine message on earth. Jacob refers more to how they battle the material aspect of the world. This distinction between the verb to speak, the root is Dalet Bet Resh, and the verb to say or to talk, the root is Aleph Mem Resh, is common in the Talmud and the Midrash. It is based in part on the verse preceding the account of the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. Thus say you, shall you say to the house of Jacob and declare to the children of Israel. Tradition understands the house of Jacob to refer to the women, and the children of Israel to refer to the men. This is because the name Israel is primarily associated with the Jewish people in their role as the bearer of the divine message on earth, while the name Jacob refers more to how they battle in the material aspect of the world in the course of fulfilling this goal. These are the male and female aspects of our personalities, respectively, as we have explained previously. The verb declare, tagade, used in this verse is phonetically similar to the word for tendon, gidi, prompting the comments of our sages to the men. Moses was bidden to communicate the harsher aspects of the Torah. The Arizal now reinterprets the understanding of this verse to refer to the exoteric and esoteric dimensions of the Torah. This is the esoteric meaning of the verse. Thus shall you say, this verse refers to the exoteric dimension of the Torah, which is easy to understand. To the house of Jacob, referring to the common people. And declare, this refers to the esoteric dimension of the Torah, which is hard as tendons to understand, for not every mind can bear it. And not all who wish to take upon himself the mantle may do so. To the house of Israel, referring to the holy elites. The reason why our sages said that the verb declare in this verse implies communicating something as hard as tendons is because there is an extra yud in it, unlike its usual spelling. As for instance in the verse, declare to my people their transgression. The spelling of the verb declare in this verse is somewhat enigmatic. The imperative of declare is haged, he gimel dalet, while the second person future is tagid, taf gimel yud dalet. Here, however, we have what appears to be a hybrid of these two. Taged, in which the consonants are the same as the second person future, but the vowels are that of the imperative. The tsiri under the gimel instead of the shirik. This draws attention to the fact that the combination gimel yud dalid, the gedi, is the word for tendon. The implication is thus declare the imperative following the vowels in a way as harsh as a tendon following the consonants. I am adding, normally the writings of the sages do not use vowels, just like the Torah. Since the above paragraph is a comment from the translator, and we do not have the original Hebrew to know if the vowels were added, We must take the comments with a grain of salt. This explains why Moses addressed in the first clause of this verse the heavens directly. It was as if to say, to you, the heavens, or the holy elite, it is fitting that I speak, communicate the difficult esoteric aspects of the Torah. And this is also why he spoke in the first person. I shall speak, since he was talking about the esoteric dimension of the Torah. He referred to it as his own, and he was speaking from the depths of his own heart. Moses was obviously the most qualified to study the esoteric aspect of the Torah, and thus he considered this aspect of the Torah to be his, so to speak. Listen, O holy ones, and I will teach you the difficult, esoteric aspect of the Torah, which is the aspect most dear to my heart. But the exoteric dimension is suited even to the common folk, so when referring to it, he spoke indirectly. Let the earth hear the talk of my mouth. The common people, referred to as the earth, should hear my talk. The exoteric aspect of the Torah, which is easy to grasp, he referred to this aspect of the Torah as the talk of my mouth, since he considered it superficial relative to the esoteric dimension. It issued only from his lips, not from his innermost heart. I am adding, this is why the Kabbalah impacts only a few people in each generation. This is why the prophecy says there will be people who need to continue to study the Torah even after the Mashiach manifests. Others will have learned to fly without the need for physical items like a magic carpet. The idiom in Hebrew for a common person or an ignoramus is an amharas, how one of the people of the earth. Here the Arizal uses the term to refer to anyone, even a Torah scholar, who does not learn the inner dimension of the Torah. Regarding this aspect, such a person is indeed an ignoramus, and his perspective is entirely material rather than spiritual. The secrets of the Torah can be a spiritual boon to someone who appreciates them, but can cause spiritual harm to someone unprepared. Concerning the esoteric dimension, Moses said, "Let my teaching drip like rain." The verb used here for to drip, ayin resh pei, also means to kill, as in the verse, and they shall kill, the arful, the calf there. The implication here is that the esoteric dimension of the Torah is a very powerful revelation, just like rain is not always good for everyone. For example, travelers are vexed by it. So it is with the esoteric dimension of the Torah. It can kill someone who is not fit for it. I am adding, this may have been true in earlier generations. It is no longer true in our generation, primarily because of the revelation of the modern physics theories that are taught in every school in the Western world. The rain falls on the roads the same as it falls on the fields. In the former context, it gives life, while in the latter, it is an inconvenience or even a detriment to mankind. Similarly, the secrets of the Torah can be a spiritual boon to someone who appreciates them, as they are meant to be taken, but can cause spiritual harm to someone unprepared to accept them on their own terms. As the rain is a vexation for travelers, so is the esoteric dimension a negative influence on those who have departed from the path of the Torah. The idiom in Hebrew for travelers is walkers on the path, Holchei Derachim, subtly implying those who walk on paths other than the highway or the main road, that of the Torah. This is similar to the saying of the sages regarding the Torah in general. If one merits, it becomes for him an elixir of life. If not, it becomes poison. For the righteous, in contrast, the esoteric aspect of the Torah will drip like the rain. It will flow abundantly and give them life like an ever-increasing wellspring. This is why Moses used here the idiom, my teaching. The word for teaching, lekach, is related to the word for taking. He referred to the esoteric portion of the Torah as the part he took for himself. When referring to the simple meaning, he said, let my talk flow like dew. Since dew is good for everyone, just like the exoteric dimension of the Torah, harms no one. Moses said, like droplets on new growth, but like showers on grass. In order to answer the question, if the esoteric dimension is the main and preferred aspect of the Torah, why do we need the exoteric dimension? The answer to this is that the raindrops are very small and are like droplets on new growth. The word used for vegetation in this verse, desha, refers to the period in which the grass begins to grow and is just barely seen above ground. If large drops of water would fall on the new growth, it would destroy them. Once the growth has become a mature grass, the rain falls on it in the form of a shower with larger drops, which the grass can now endure. Studying this Torah's exoteric dimension trains the individual in the fundamentals of the Jewish faith. So it is with regard to the exoteric dimension of the Torah. When a person is young and his intellect is not fully developed, he learns the simple meaning of the Torah, for his mind cannot yet appreciate or bear the intensity of the Torah's mysteries. After he has learned the exoteric dimension, which is like droplets on new growth, and he has filled his belly with meat and good wine, the exoteric dimension of the Torah, he may approach the study of the esoteric dimension, which is like showers on mature grass. Filling the belly with meat and wine is an idiom commonly used in rabbinic literature to refer to the study of the exoteric dimension of the Torah. Nowadays, we might say meat and potatoes instead of meat and wine. The imagery is that one should eat his full of the basic staples of life before indulging in delicacies or fancy desserts. In this way, he will be assured of good health and be saved the ill effects of overindulgence in rich foods. Similarly, a person should make his main Torah diet from the exoteric basics, Torah, Talmud, Tanakh, etc. And only when he is firmly anchored and grounded in these, allow himself to delve into the Torah's mysteries. Alternatively, we can explain this verse according to Rashi's explanation. He translates the word we have taken to mean showers as storms. Storm winds aid the growth of vegetation when it is very young and closely bound to the mud at ground level. The storm wind dries up the mud and crumbles it. This frees the grass from being stuck to the mud. Afterwards comes the rain, which makes it grow further. Similarly, the exoteric dimension of the Torah serves to separate the individual from his gross materialism. Once he has been somewhat detached from materiality and the matters of this world, he can go on to learn the esoteric dimension. It will then develop him further, like showers on mature grass. For mature grass is already detached from the mud and clay and can bear the heavier showers that promote the growth to maturity. Studying the Torah's exoteric dimension trains the individual in the fundamentals of Jewish faith. This knowledge prevents him from misunderstanding or misinterpreting the imagery of allusions found in the esoteric tradition. Learning and following the Torah's laws sanctifies the individual, giving him at least the basis of a higher perspective on life, in which the spiritual is ascendant over the material. I am adding, what has to happen is the study of the exoteric levels, which includes the Hebrew letters, words, and sounds, causes changes to the soul that elevates the level of belief until it reaches a level of sufficiently to accept the idea of certainty. This is my opinion. Moses then said, when I proclaim the name of God, give greatness to our God. This too was to answer the question of why both exoteric and esoteric dimensions of the Torah are necessary. The answer given here is that the Torah is similar to the divine name Hashem, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, which also possesses both a hidden and revealed dimension. The hidden dimension is this name itself, as it is written. The revealed dimension is the way it is pronounced, as in the name Adonai. This is similar to our sage's explanation of the verse. This is my name forever, and this is my remembrance for all generations. The word for forever, le'olam, can be phonetically interpreted to mean to conceal, le'alem, in modern Hebrew. In ha'alim, the word for my remembrance, zichri, can also mean the way I am mentioned, referring to the way the name of Hashem is to be pronounced throughout all the generations, the name Adonai. The name Hashem was allowed to be pronounced as it was written only when the temple stood, and even then only in the temple itself. So it is within the Torah, for God and his name and the Torah are all one. For as mentioned above, the Torah is all names of the Holy One. Blessed be he. Just as God's name possesses both a hidden and revealed dimension, so does the Torah, since the Torah is, after all, Hashem's name. This is why Moses said, when I proclaim the name of Hashem, give greatness to our God. Meaning, when I recite a blessing and say, blessed are you, you should respond, blessed be he, referring to our God himself, referred to by the name Havaya, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. When I then continue and say Adonai, you should respond, and blessed is his name, referring to the name Adonai. The name Havaya is considered God's proper name, and in many contexts is taken to refer to his essence, as opposed to any of his attributes. The name Adonai, in contrast, is just one of the various names of God that refer to him as he manifests himself in one of his attributes. In this case, the attribute of kingship, since the word Adonai literally means my Lord or my master. The essential idea here is that except in the Holy Temple, where the revelation of Hashem is most intense, the average person is not able to bear a direct revelation of God's name or of God's essence and still retain his own independent existence. Rather, we refer to Hashem even when reciting a blessing in the second person. Blessed are you, as the Lord and Master of the universe. That is, we relate to Hashem as he is manifest in this world. This is, of course, a much lower aspect of divinity than God's essence itself. Thus, Moses is here telling the Jewish people, whenever I refer to God in a blessing as you, I address God's essence. You should respond, blessed is he, referring to God himself, abstracted from any particular attribute. When I then pronounce God's name as Adonai, you should respond, blessed be his name. This is the mystical explanation of why, after the first words of blessings, blessed are you, Hashem, those hearing the blessing respond, Baruch Hu U'Baruch Shemo. Blessed is he and blessed be his name. Thus we see that God's name possesses both a hidden and revealed dimension. If you then ask why does God's name itself need to have a hidden and revealed dimension, would not the hidden dimension be the name Havaya be enough? Seeing that it is the main and essential name of Hashem. To answer this question, Moses continues, Barak, perfect are his deeds, for all his ways are just. Barak refers to the name Adonai, which in turn refers to God's attribute of stern justice. As is known, the name Havaya refers to the divine attribute of mercy, while the name Adonai, when spelled backwards, rearranged, spells judgment in Aramaic, Dina. The attribute of justice is necessary in order to reward the righteous and punish the wicked. God wanted to create man with two inclinations, the good inclination and the evil inclination. This is why he is called perfect. For both inclinations contribute to the service of God. Yes, even the evil inclination. As our sages explain the verse, and you shall love God, your God, with all your heart, with both your inclinations, the good inclination and the evil inclination. The evil inclination motivates man to engage in activities that emphasize and aggrandize his material side at the expense of the spiritual side. If the individual can harness this inclination and use it to see to the needs of those physical aspects of his life necessary for his continued and increasingly enhanced service of God, he is loving God with both his inclinations. I am adding. The above paragraph is the translator's opinion. This must be emphasized. My teachers explained it differently, yet it is too long for me to explain it here. This is how the sage answered the heretic who mocked the mitzvah of circumcision, saying that if God wanted man circumcised, he would have created him thus. The sage answered, just as beans need to be cooked in order to be eaten, so does man need additional perfection even after he has been born the way God created him. Similarly, God desired that man should rectify the evil within him by his own efforts, and in this way be perfected by his own efforts. I am adding, thus removing bread of shame. That's the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? There's much in this class that needs to be contemplated. I wish you all an easy fast. Have a happy, healthy, prosperous, extremely joyful Yom Kippur. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a good evening and an easy fast.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you.